I know you can feel it. They want to fight. They're going to have a fight. So welcome to Hagmann. It's the Hagmann Report for today, Wednesday, June 11th. 11th, June 2025. And we're just kicking off, of course, the summer of not so much love out there. The summer of the communist, attempted communist coup in America, of course. And we're seeing that. It's going to be kicked off. Really, it's already underway. It's been underway for a long time, but, you know, it's going to get kicked off, at least visibly on the 14th, beginning this Friday. But I've got to tell you, having infiltrated the, or when I say infiltrated, well, that's what I mean, infiltrated some of the calls that are going out various cities, I'm finding that this, what's taking place right now, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to bring Austin Brewer on, and we can talk about this. The level of sophistication with respect to the planning is something I have not seen before. And what do I have to compare this to? Well, we've infiltrated other other platforms, other movements. This is extremely well planned out, well sophisticated, and well funded. I'll just say that. And what they're attempting to do is go beyond the cities and enter into the urban areas or suburban areas. I'm sorry. And that's something that is growing with each call, with each planning session, strategy session that we've seen. And we're in there, of course, under pretext, under different names, different VPNs to suggest different cities and such. So I'm just saying that this is not like there's a level of sophistication here that goes far beyond your normal rent a mob kind of situation. All right. With that, Austin Brewer. TeamHealthMasters.com. Lot to talk about. Folks, you can catch Austin on his on the Ted and Austin Brewer Show every single morning. Go to that website right there. It's going to be linked in the program description box. And you can also listen to Ted and Austin Brewer. It's really a must listen every day. It's an information download on current events and health as well. And, you know, look, we have to be healthy to fight, and fight we will, and be healthy we must. So healthmasters.com, that's where to go. Austin, how are you, sir?
Doug, great to be on the show as always, my friend. I've been reading about a bunch of stuff the last couple of minutes, and yeah, we're definitely going to keep doing some more research on who's behind a lot of this funding and also who's instigating a lot of these riots, these alleged protests. You know, over the weekend, I watched some of this stuff, and I covered it on my show on Monday, briefly yesterday as well. And I thought, you know, maybe for a little bit, you had some, you know, organic riots or some organic frustration for some of the stuff that's going on. And I had a lot of people send me some stuff today. So I just, you know, want to take a step back and say, okay, let's look at what's really happening. And the more I keep researching it today, the more I'm looking at how there is a massive amount of organization and instigation for these events. And it's almost like we're watching summer of 2020 2.0 now all over again, where you're having these individuals that are calling for this. I saw something earlier somebody brought up to me involving a group, very large group, which is basically a party for socialism, the People's Forum, which is basically funded out of Manhattan. And apparently they got a lot of Chinese connections as well. And they've been putting out some unbelievably aggressive rhetoric. And a lot of these other groups have been doing the same thing on social media, all the way from coming down saying there's been a war waged. You've got to fight. And I quote, another one said, customs enforcement is kidnapping our neighbors, friends, and families from their homes. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out here. And so, again, it's like pretty much what I didn't want to think was going to happen. I think it's starting to happen now. They're trying to spool up another type of conflict covered by the guise of protest and First Amendment rights while they throw rocks at people, while they throw Molotov cocktails. And in some cases that I've seen out in California, shooting at law enforcement now in multiple cases. So, yeah, what are you starting to find out and what are you starting to pick up on a lot of this stuff now that you're watching and getting intel on?
I'll say this. In one location in California, specifically, we've identified. Now, when I say identified, we have to go through some additional steps to verify the identity, the true name. But visually and by location, we've been able to identify at least two members of a mayor's staff that are heavily involved in the organization, in the strategy, operational strategy of this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yep. So you're looking at people who hold positions of power, people very close to them, working with them and for them, are part of the planning process. And of course, we turn over this information to the domestic office of the, or to, the domestic threats under the current, or at the current FBI. So, just like we did in the past, we had two locations or two specific offices we would turn information over to. One was specifically for domestic threats. The other was for threats to Americans outside of the U.S. So we've already turned over a couple of different pieces of information. But again, it doesn't surprise me. But I think people have to realize this is not, obviously, it's not organic. You've got people who are working for mayors. You've got people working for other departments in cities, and I'm not going to give any specific locations out, who are planning, plotting, and scheming, organizing. And in some case, in one case, directing money, handling the money, superintending the bank account that is actually dispersing the money. The thing we have to do is now trace the money to the bank account where that's coming from. Just that's where we're at the moment. So go ahead, Austin.
Well, yeah, and I looked up some of the maps because I didn't even know much about this alleged, you know, no kings crap, whatever they're trying to do with their stupid little rallies to try to make sure that everybody knows that they want a socialist communist dictatorship. They're coming in now and saying that they're going to start planning all these things. In my area of Florida, that's not something I'm really concerned about relatively whatsoever. We put a squash on the BLM and Antifa riot protests, whatever you want to call them. There's only a couple there around here, and they got dispersed very, very quickly. However, there's other areas that are going to be shitholes. See my language on that? That's going to be like South Florida. That's going to be Jacksonville. I wouldn't get involved in anything down there this weekend because a lot of these people are going to be pro. They're going to be paid agitators. They're not going to be organic people that are like, oh, man, we really want to protest because we're upset about this. A large percentage of them, as we've already seen multiple times, they're paid agitators. When we've even caught before back during COVID, you know, there were Craigslist ads and job postings for people to show up at protest and be paid money, $20, $25 an hour, to basically walk around and just start crap with people. And so, again, this is what they need to do whenever they need a distraction. It's the same thing when we have this entire AI database, this Palantir system database that's being put together that nobody wants to talk about at all. It's being completely ignored. This whole system is something that's unknown of what how deep this is going to go, with them taking every single federal database, every single information on every person, and having one specific entity get billions of dollars so they can build an AI system to monitor it. AI is becoming to grow rapidly in almost every area of surveillance. It's getting incredibly creepy. All the way back to the Lavender program that Israel used to bomb Palestine, the first opening, where they were giving Reaper drones and different drone systems AI autonomy to select. If you find a Hamas individual, you can have up to 100 casualties, your weapons free. They didn't even have human insight anymore. They were doing drone strikes based solely off artificial intelligence control. That's a whole other animal as well on top of this. And so, as we're watching this happen, and now we're starting to see this again, when all else fails, start conflict, start a riot, start chaos, start theater. Everybody look at what's going on in all these cities now, which in many cases, it can be devastating for business owners, for families, trying to live freely on your way, and you've got people running around throwing Molotov cocktails and burning cars on fire for no apparent reason whatsoever. There's a video popped up. This guy had like a Jeep, and he got out of it in the middle of the road. Somebody walked up with like a 5-gallon gas can and popped the hood, and they poured fire, the fuel over, caught it on fire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, this isn't how you protest and make a point. If you're trying to prove a point on you're an illegal immigrant and you're supposed to be here because you deserve to be here, you're literally making our point that you need to be deported. I'm not trying to be rude or pick on anybody, but if this is the way you handle it when you don't get your way or when you're upset about how something's handled, you catch cars on fire and you run around and vandalize and loot properties, you're not making a valid point. You're just personifying the point, well, we need to have more immigration control. I mean, that's just the way it is, Doug.
No, you're exactly right. If you don't mind, you mentioned Palantir. Can you give us like a 101 on Palantir? Because I've heard so many different things about that organization, and conflicting reports as to what the intent is with the data collection, disbursement of data, and so on. So if you don't mind, but I would urge everyone to tune into the Ted and Austin Brower Show, because they've got the skinny in all of this. But just for our audience, if you don't mind, just kind of hitting that a little bit.
So Palantir is a Colorado-based data analytic collection agency firm, so to speak, and they've just landed a significant amount of money, and it's not even known how much more they're going to get. Essentially, the new platform that's going to work with the database of personal information on all American citizens, and it's going to compile all data relayed from everything that DHS does that they spy on you about, everything. I mean, if you want to get deeper into that, just watch the movie Snowden, and you'll find out very quickly how much DHS and basically all these agencies do with monitoring everything you do all the time. So all these agencies, though, aren't all connected all the time. In some cases, they have to access other databases because there's so much information. Well, Palantir is going to come in, and because it's difficult to try to do that even with computer models, Palantir is going to use AI platforms to compile everything and all known data of every person in the entire United States. And it'll probably go global eventually, meaning all the way from the DMV to basically toll passes you haven't paid to basically where you go, geo-tracking, geolocation, what you use your credit card on, what you purchase, where you go on a regular basis, who you're around with the geo-logging, basically in the perimeter of Wi-Fi and internet. That's DHS monitors all that, to what the FBI collected data on, to what IRS knows, to your bank account statements. Pretty much nothing you have is going to be private anymore if this agency, this entity, this developing database gets what it's getting from my knowledge and the individual I've talked about and a couple of the military contractors that I know. And they're very spooked about it because, as we've pretty much all seen over the years, once the government gets data and gets control and gets power of something, they never relinquish it. And that's the scary part about this, is because we're watching AI explode like an atomic bomb right now on the internet. You're watching AI videos that are popping up. We just had a commercial. It's going to be the first completely AI commercial that's about to be released on Florida. And it's like promoting all this stuff down here in Florida. It's actually a really funny commercial if you've seen it. And it kind of personifies Florida a lot. I can't knock them for it. So if you pull it up, if Eric finds it, it's really funny. But then you realize the entire commercial, 100% from start to finish, is completely digital AI created. None of it's real. And so we're watching all this stuff happen now, and this stuff expand. And now you're starting to have more agencies, have more leeway, have more control. And then you tie in what happened with Lavender, with Israel and the AI program. And it's screaming very dystopian, where this thing's going to happen, and it's going to happen without anybody realizing it. Suddenly, it doesn't matter where you go, what you do, everything's going to be watching you all the time, all the way down to what they put together now. If you remember back in the Make America Great, and what did Make America Build Back Better, that stupid crap with Biden, there was a product in there about mandatory anti-drunk driving tech that was supposed to go into place in vehicles by 2025. That's now gotten pushed to 2027. And they're talking about mandating in all new vehicles having cameras that watch you to see if your eyes move in certain ways that determine you're drunk, having regulators in the vehicle to determine if there's alcohol in the air from your breath, to determine if your steering is basically jerky or swerving, and then essentially disable your vehicle if the AI system in your car determines that you're drunk. That's out there right now. GM's already said they're ready to sign on to once the technology is fully adaptable. So you're watching all these things take another stair step to what end, to what degree, to it reaches a point to where you sit there and you walk outside and you spit on the ground and satellites watching you, and all of a sudden you get an email, oh, you're fine now, you spit on the sidewalk. I mean, I'm using just a metaphor analogy. But it reaches a point of how crazy is it going to get? And so I think a lot of this rioting now is being done to kind of cover up what they're really doing behind the scenes with Palantir and a few other things with AI that nobody really knows what's happening. There's no transparency at all. And it's kind of creepy, man, the more I keep researching into it. So this isn't by accident. This wasn't organic. You don't have a few people that are mad about immigration in LA, and suddenly now the city's on fire, and now we suddenly have to send in the Marines to protect the federal buildings. Now suddenly this No Kings protest has exploded across the United States in the last 4 or 5 days. They've been working this thing up for months. You don't organize stuff like this quickly, and now suddenly it's getting national coverage on every mainstream media outlet, which now is making it even bigger. And that's what it appears to be, in my opinion, well organized, well orchestrated to create chaos and foment like fear.
That No Kings organization, from what I can tell, is just one part. I have to acknowledge it's a pretty large segment, but it's not really the oversight or governing part of what's happening.
Right.
In my investigation, it's one of several larger groups that are cooperating. There's interactivity between these groups. And from a surveillance perspective, which what we're doing, an investigative perspective, rather than identify the groups at this moment, just understand what you see is not really necessarily what is governing what's happening out there. It's just part. They're more of a chess piece, I guess. And the board is being operated by someone obviously much higher than that. But what I'm seeing, though, the inner integration between the street rioters or the people who plan, who are already out there and planning to be there, between them and the city, and in some cases county, even state lawmakers, leaders. It's chilling to see this, because obviously they're in positions of power, of influence, and the very people telling, for example, LAPD to stand down, not help ICE or whatever, Not that bridge, that picture of the police cars under the bridge. There was a stand down order there. Do not, you know, rescue them, basically. That's coming from these people in this organization. So there it is. But okay, I appreciate your explanations all. And we're also keeping our eyes on, no pun intended, you mentioned AI. Zero Eyes is a company that has automatic optical AI firearm detection. Wow.
Oh, okay.
Okay, wow. Okay, it's just, to me, they claim to, and I believe this to be true, they analyze over 3 billion images each day from security camera video feeds and alerts authorities within seconds if a firearm is detected.
Yep. I think, and not to cut you off, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if that's exact agency, but I'm pretty sure it was the same technology, and it still is. It's probably more advanced, that Disney World uses, and Downtown Disney, and all those other entities in that area, the whole Disney area, because I've told you I've been detained numerous times and thrown out of the park and all kinds of other stuff for various incidences. But, and many times the last time I was there, you know, I was identified as carrying a firearm legally, lawfully in the state of Florida. It was another entity of Disney. It wasn't in the park. And the quickness of them identifying me with a firearm while I had a jacket on was insane. Never even realized that technology was that advanced. And that was years back with Disney. And yeah, so the technology now they're using with AI is a whole nother level to identify this stuff. And so I forgot to mention, Palantir was also the key analytical data analyzer for HHS for the COVID distribution, for the basically tracking hospital related data, focusing on aggregate data, and also basically looking at different geo tracking. Remember, they were trying to go in and identify who had COVID and who had been connected with. Palantir was the main contractor that was analyzing all that data during COVID as well. So this isn't new to them. They've been doing this for a while, and they're darn good at it, which makes it even creepier when you're going to hand them the keys to pretty much 330, 340 million Americans' information from top to bottom, A to Z, and say, correlate this, aggregate it, make it super accessible with AI. So you can go in and say, click up Austin Brower, and they can have an entire file sheet, threat sheet, social score sheet, credit sheet, everything about me and what my identifiable factor is going to be, and what my level of, basically, how should I say, risk is going to be associated. That's been one of the, I haven't been able to confirm that 100%, but I had been told that by one of the guys that I've done work with, and he's a security contractor now. He works with a lot of guys. He's the one actually sent me the link to the Haiti contract that came out on Thursday. We're bringing serious money and serious guys down to Haiti right now, and it's all coming out of the DOD money. I mean, the guys, the contractors that I've talked to, it's $1,500 a day plus per diem. They're supplying weapons. They're supplying the ammunition. They're having air support. Haiti is about to be in a very, very wild situation. Granted, they've been killing people down there. They need to get tightened up. But we're moving an enormous amount of contractors down to Haiti, which nobody's talking about. I have the link to the job listing on, he showed me. And that same guy that does that contract work told me that that's really what he's hearing, is that Palantir is going to start analyzing this data and start doing risk assessment scores behind the scenes. It's not going to be something you're going to have data access to, since it's going to be used for law enforcement and FBI personnel. So if you're identified, you're pulled over, you have a warrant issued, there's something they need to track you on, you're going to have a scale from a 1 to 10 sliding scale on what your risk is going to be before they engage with you any further. So if you come in and say, this individual, based on what he looks at, based on what he's purchased, based on his firearms, based on his activity, based on who he associates with, he's going to be an 8 out of 10 on a risk factor. Use caution when identifying or coming in contact with this individual, versus somebody they say, hey, he sits on the couch, he's lazy, he's fat, he watches porn all day, he's a 1 scale, don't worry about him at all. That's something that I've been told they're getting ready to implement behind the scenes with federal agencies and law enforcement, low key with Palantir. Again, I don't have any data to prove that or documentation to prove that, because I guarantee you that is extremely classified information they're not going to release. But that's what he told me. And as soon as he told me that, I went, okay, now I know where this is going. Now you can kind of see where they're going to start using this stuff as the ability to identify threats in the future. And it just depends how much of a threat they're going to allow you to be, I guess, Doug, until you decide or they decide you guys want to go head to head. That's my kind of take on it.
Yeah, wow. Very interesting. Again, you know, we are so far down the road when most of us don't realize how far advanced this whole system is, and I think it's going, you know, I really think it's going to take a lot of people by surprise. Austin Brower, of course, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, Team Healthmasters, of course, go there for all of your supplement needs. I've got to say, they've got the best, and I don't have to say this, but I will, because I believe it, they've got the best supplements really on the planet, the best quality supplements, and they've got they've got items there that hey, if you have high blood sugar, they've got things to address that. Pretty much everything, immune support, energy, I mean, everything that you could possibly want, go to teamhealthmasters.com. So Austin, again, take us anywhere you want. I did notice, by the way, I want to get your take on this. And yep. then Robert Malone, one of a number of people that RFK Jr. selected to replace the CDC supplicants that were terminated, what, last week? So, I mean, there's some fresh blood there. It seems like some very good picks. Your thoughts? I don't know.
I haven't analyzed everybody yet on there. I did cover a lot on the show. I mean, he wiped out all 17 members of the Advisory Committee for Immunization, which was good. It had to happen. In my opinion, RFK Jr. has been probably doing more in this administration than most anybody else has. Actually making real changes, pulling stuff back. He's fighting the FDA, the CDC hand over foot. Some people I had contact me, they're like, well, he's not doing this enough. I said, do you understand how embedded the FDA and the CDC is with Big Pharma? How much money a lot of these people have backing them? How much money is on the line for these immunization shot schedules to get with the CDC? How much money in government contracts? You're talking billions upon billions of dollars. So no, this is not going to be an easy fight. This isn't going to be, oh, by the way, you're not doing your job, you're compromised, you work for Big Pharma, you're fired. The fact that he wiped out this entire member, all 17, the Advisory Committee for Immunizations, was shocking me. He was actually able to get that done, but impressive at the same time. So I hope he put some heavy hitters in here that actually want to look at data and facts, because one of the biggest things that he said the other day, and CNN tried to rebuttal this, and he came out with some serious data, RFK Jr. did, is, and I've talked about this before to make it brief, the vaccine manufacturers aren't required to do a saline placebo-controlled study, meaning they take a vaccine that they're testing, control group, and then they have the placebo group. The placebo group doesn't get a saline shot of salt water. They get another type of vaccine or other type of compound that's usually highly inflammatory. So what it does is it throws off the standard deviation of the report. So if you've got 100 people that take the shot, 90 of them get serious adverse events in the control group. The placebo group, being that they also get a very nasty compound, they have 85 adverse events. You only have a deviation of 5 individuals basically that had side effects. That's what it shows. So 100 people, you only had 5. That's it. That's how they manipulate the data. And I mean, there was this article that popped up here on it, and it was discussing how, and it was showing some of the ones they tested, the Petivax HIB testing. They had the vaccine group and the control group got injected with a cocktail of lactose, aluminum adjuvant, and thimerosal, which is mercury. That's what the placebo group got against the vaccine schedule group. So you're telling me they were expecting to have a normal response? No, dude, you just injected people with aluminum, lactose, and basically mercury. And sure enough, enormous amount of side effects in a placebo group. So they come out with a shot, they go, there's virtually no side effects. Placebo group had 90 adverse events. Our group had 95 adverse events. It's negligible. Doesn't matter. And it's one after another after another. This is what he's coming. So when you hear him say, I want to have true controlled placebo studies done on these vaccines, this is why CNN, this is why the mainstream media is going ape crap on it. They're all saying, oh, he's lying. They've already done this. All these shots have been tested. They've been safety tested. No, they have not. The FDA does not require them to do a saline placebo. They say, pick your placebo, pick your shot, your testing. We don't care what it is. Give us the results. And that's how they skew the results to get these shots inbound, get them approved, get them rolled on the CDC shot schedule. And then we wonder why these kids, then they're getting 6, 7, 8 of these shots in combination. And we're going, we don't know why the kids are having chronic ear infections. Their adenoids are swollen. Their tonsils are inflamed. They're constantly sick. They're on antibiotics all the time. Oh, well, they're doing a little bit better. Oh, 6 months in, another shot schedule. Adenoids, tonsils, ears, glands, everything. Yep. They're sick as crap again. We don't know why. It's just normal. They tell everybody it's normal. I have 3 kids. None of them have gotten their shots at all. Their immune systems are unbelievably strong. They go to school. They go to karate or jujitsu. They go to church. They have all types of groups things they do. They go to summer camp. Hunter's got back from fishing camp for a week. They're perfectly healthy almost all the time, other than some sniffles. Sometimes every occasion they've gotten sick, a couple days, hammer the vitamin C to D3, and they bounce back. It's not normal for children to have chronic ear infections, adenoids, tonsils swollen, and unbelievably sick. They've geared everyone and basically in parents by the pediatricians to make them think this is normal childhood experiences when it's not. Yes, are you going to get sick? Yes, you're going to contract certain things. Yes, are you going to basically probably be in bed sick as crap with a flu baby occasionally? Yeah, those are normal things in life. Having shots injected into you with aluminum and mercury and polyasorbate 80 on 6, 7, 8 different shots, that is not normal. Nobody gets exposed to that many viruses and that many adjuvants at one time at any point in your life. So that's why I tell people, question the narrative, and that's what RFK Jr. is trying to do. But I'm really glad he's doing this, and I want to get it out to everybody so they can really realize this is something with these safety trials. When it comes out, I can guarantee you, when these trials really actually get done with a saline placebo, they're going to show enormous amount of side effects compared to this placebo shot. And then they're going to try to come out with some excuse and say, well, this is why we did it, this, this, and this. So, yeah, I'm excited to see everybody on this list and kind of vet them, see if they're pretty good, which I think they are with what he's doing.
Wow. One thing I wanted to mention, you mentioned trials, of course, you know, the trials in terms of the vaccines and such, the pharmaceutical trials. How about a court trial? Joe Rogan,
yeah,
he had mentioned, the case of Grace Sherrar, Scott. Her father was on this platform. I think it was a couple of months ago. The jury trial for Grace began, it was last Monday, I believe it was. Anyway, the how this is framed up. Well, for those who don't know or didn't hear the program, Grace was a 19 or maybe younger, year old, a young girl with Down syndrome. She yep. contracted COVID, went into the hospital, and the hospital murdered her basically through the protocol. And how the Sherrar family is getting around this is they're bringing a case, a civil case against the hospital, the administrators, the nurses, the doctors for battery, as opposed to, you know, the murder, essentially.
They're doing it to get around the PREP Act.
Yeah, exactly. And to hear that, to hear this come out on the Rogan platform, like him or don't like him, he reaches so many people. So we have to keep our eye on that as well, because there are things happening in the background that, I'm telling you right now, I think there are some people, at the very least, I believe, will be losing money. Well, they're already losing money through the litigation costs, but will be losing a lot more than that And that will open the door a little bit, or the camel's nose under the tent for future litigation. So, folks, keep your eyes on that trial.
Well, and what's crazy about this, by the way, if you've watched some of the mainstream media outlets and their spinoff on it, and some of the forums on Reddit, because I read a lot of different areas to kind of get a take on everybody, what they've spun it now is they're saying the father basically killed his daughter because he didn't allow her to get a COVID-19 vaccine, which put her in the hospital. The COVID vaccine would have saved her life, and she never would have died if she would have gotten the vaccine, which is completely and totally bogus. And now there's stouts coming out now about actually what happened in that hospital, and then making them signing a DNR on her. And then one of the doctors that was on the Rogan Experience the other day was Dr. Bowden.
Yes.
And she was talking into detail about how this is like disturbingly common during COVID, that people essentially, they'd go in, and if they knew they were having issues, by the way, remdesivir was pretty much killing everyone. I personally saw it. Numerous people, numerous phone calls, numerous emails, numerous hospital visits. Watch remdesivir kill people. The hospital would not pull people off of it. Even if you threatened a maternity, they said essentially this is standard of care. They've signed in on this. They've approved this treatment, and it's saving their life because it's antiviral. That is one of the most toxic drugs I've ever witnessed somebody give. I knew somebody that basically went in, told him not to go in. They went to the hospital. They got him on it. Tried to visit him a couple days later, had a whole debacle with it. Within 2 or 3 days of them being in the hospital, they looked so sick. I mean, it was disturbing. I'm like, what the? Oh, he's got COVID. He's got COVID. You're not allowed to be here. I'm like, dude, I know this isn't COVID. COVID doesn't do this to you. I just had COVID. You look like he's literally about to die. Oh, it's COVID. We're going to put him on a ventilator. And I fought. The problem is it was standard care, prep act. Everything the hospital did, if it was under standard care, it was completely and totally covered from all liability. So that's why they're suing for battery to get around this prep act BS.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, you think about it. They went in, they incentivized the hospital. Every COVID death gets $70,000 to $100,000 per person. We're covering you under the prep act. So as long as you follow what we do with remdesivir, you can't be sued. You can't be held liable. You can't go to jail. Nothing you do is wrong if you follow this. You kill people. You make a boatload of money for the hospital. And it's job well done. You did great. And that's how they ran the numbers up with COVID. And so RFK Jr. coming in, calling this out, it's really important that I'm glad he's doing this. And more and more stuff needs to start coming out. Because, we had our doctor up in Missouri the FDA came after him, millions of dollars in litigation lawsuit, because he was giving all of his patients D3. And we talked about it repeatedly with D3 during COVID. I still talk about D3 because of how important it is for the macrophage in the body and the immune system. And when you start seeing that, once you saw research, I don't have it in front of me in this show, as I kind of got into that. Once you saw, one of the doctors did it, once you saw people have over 50 NGs as far as in blood with their D3, their COVID cases, their COVID like severe events, COVID deaths, everything plummeted to the floor. The recovery time was insanely faster. Death was almost non-existent once you got your D3 levels over. And that's one of the reasons why I've been so adamant about it. And there's an article that came up here earlier, and it says why I take D3 even in the summer. And it talks about how a lot of people say, well, I go outside a couple times, or I went to the beach. What a lot of people don't realize is that even if you're out in the sun, after about 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes of sun exposure will give them vitamin D they need. But the problem with it is if you're trying to build your D3 levels up, it's very difficult to do so. Because what happens is after about 30 minutes of out in the sun, your body starts to create equilibrium. It'll produce natural D3, absorb it, but then it stops for the time being because it regulates. Well, the problem with it is if your blood levels are so low, it doesn't ever push them up high enough to get them back in range, because your body naturally assumes this is pretty much how much you're making. This is what we're allowed to make. This is how our body's designed. It's not designed to have such low levels of D3 based on poor food, based on sitting inside all the time. Our bodies are designed to be out in the sun every single day for short periods, 20 to 30 minutes. They're not designed to be out in the sun for 8 to 10 hours on the beach with, nothing around you, getting burnt and cooked. That's not healthy either. But we're also not designed to be sitting in a house, in a car, in a lobby, or in an office all day, every day with no natural sunlight on our face and our body. And the problem is most times when people go out in the sun, they have a long sleeve on, they hose down in sunscreen, they put a hat on, they get like zero sun on their body. And like, I was out in the sun. I'm like, no, you really weren't. you know, pull your shirt off, pull your hat off.
Sunscreen, by the way, is a killer too. Am I not? I mean, isn't that correct?
Numerous sunscreens now are being directly to cancer, infertility, all types of inflammatory problems. If you're going to use a sunscreen, use like the zinc oxide. That's a natural one. That works good. You got to kind of rub it in. It's so white. You don't have to use a lot of it, but it works really good for what it is. These chemical ones they have now, they go ones like, oh, spray in a bottle, 80 SPF, waterproof, good for 12 hours. I'm like, you actually read the ingredient list on what you just sprayed all over your body? You know, I mean, Raid has less ingredients in it. You know, bug spray has less ingredients in it. And you see people go to the beach and they hose themselves down this stuff from head to toe. They go, I was out in the sun all day. Like, really? You think your body was just making copious amounts of D3 with that sludge you poured all over yourself? They go, awesome. What's the opposite? You know, sun cancer and sunburn. No, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying being wise and using proper sunscreen like zinc oxide, proper cover and shade when you need it. But hosing yourself down in sunscreen all day makes absolutely zero sense from a health standpoint, especially when the ingredient list is that long on the back of the bottle. I'm like, it's sunscreen. Zinc oxide works fine. Yes. Why do you need 85 ingredients in it?
And if I can say this to the listeners and viewers, I had, my goodness, gallons of blood taken. No, I shouldn't say that. A whole lot of blood tests done recently. And my vitamin or my D levels, one doctor was telling me, the majority of people that he sees are deficient in vitamin D.
Yep.
And I take your D3 capsules. Okay. So I did, because we had a whole discussion about this. It was kind of like a side discussion about things. And he said, well, what do you take? Because a lot of the supplements, and this is coming from the doctor, a lot of the supplements out there, especially with the vitamin D, for whatever reason, you'll know I'm sure you know the answer, but they don't work. And so I, you know, of course, he knows of our relationship. And he said, the quality matters, especially in D3. And I'm going to tell you right now, ever since I've been taking D3, I've never had a deficient blood reading. You know, I've never been deficient in vitamin D. So that's the difference, folks, between Health Masters and everyone else. I'm telling you, it's great, great stuff. So it works.
Well, the two things that make a difference with ours is A, the dosage. It's got to be high enough, especially in this current time. Back in the day, it wasn't as necessary because a lot of people were still getting natural sunlight on a regular basis. Now with phones, with laptops, with TVs, giant TVs everywhere in everybody's house, nobody wants to go outside and do anything anymore. And so you've got to increase the D3 intake because you're not getting it from the sun. And so what happens is people are like, oh, I'm going to take D3's 500 IUs, 1,000 IUs. That doesn't even touch the bucket if you're low in D3. That's why the 10,000 K2 we have, people go, that's a really high dosage. Yeah, I know. It's because it works. It gets your blood levels where they need to go. If you're deficient, take one a day of it. If you're not deficient, take one every other day. If you're trying to maintain, you take two or three a week total. Look at your blood numbers every 6 to 12 months and monitor it. Once you find your spot, you're good. That's why we also stack it with K2 to make sure it does not calcify in the arteries and it has proper absorption. But you've got to have the right dosage. I've had so many conversations with people where they go, oh, no, my doctor said 10,000. I use too high. They want me to take 500 a day. And I said, okay, if that's what your doctor says, I'm not going to argue with you about it. Let me know what your blood work comes back in 6 months. They come back and say, my D3 went from 22 to 24. That's because you're taking 500 IUs of D3 a day. What'd you expect to have happen? You won't ever touch the bucket on it. And suddenly then they jump on mine. They come back, like, dude, my D3's at 58. I'm like, yeah, probably feeling pretty good, aren't you? Yep. It's just rocking pretty good, huh? Welcome to my world. So again, that's why we put together high quality nutrients. We get ours from lanolin, which is sheep's wool. It works great. And it's cost effective. We got on sale right now. It's product of the week. Everybody voted on it. But that was one of the key factors for COVID and a lot of people keeping their macrophage strong and keeping their D3 levels up. And it's crazy to me now how still to this day we're seeing lawsuits and just the ripple effects from COVID and the vaccine. And I don't think it's ever going to go away, Doug. I personally think in 10 or 20 years, if the truth ever actually comes out, you're going to see some way to have class action lawsuits against the people that are involved in this if they can get around the PREP Act. But the PREP Act was brilliant strategy from a psychopathic level. Going in and saying, if we tell the hospital to do something in standard of care, you can't ever sue them for anything while they kill everybody. I mean, that was as psychotic as it got. And it worked. It worked, sadly enough.
Man, it did. Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. I really want to see some justice. And justice right now, I think, is elusive at best. I don't know if we're to see any justice. Austin, I really don't. I don't know if we're going to see any perp walks. I don't know if we're going to see any of the architects behind this democide, really. Be brought to justice. So
here's the problem. So I mean, the high level individuals like Fauci, I think it's a flim flam fairy tale. Do I wish? I'd love to see that man go to prison the rest of his life for crimes against humanity. Oh, absolutely. There's a reason why Biden pardoned him right at the very end. There's a reason why he got the unlimited amount of airtime that he got during COVID. He was their chosen boy. He was their good little boy to do his final bidding and then basically retire after that. That's why they put him in that place, because he's been a good little boy for them. And so having any justice to that, doubtful. You know, you may have some low-level individuals that get punished or may come out. Here's the problem with the whole thing. Everybody was so interwoven into it. And if you start going after one individual about one thing with the PrEP Act, with the COVID vaccine, it's going to open up a spider web. And if that opens up, people are going to realize we were completely and totally lied to about everything, which we know that. But the average individual who's a sheep still and watches CNN, if they actually come to terms cognitively, you're going to have a large percent of the population is not going to buy the lie anymore. You know, I was reading the other day, somebody sent me a link on it, and I forgot all about this. And it was basically the bioweapon experiment that occurred back in San Diego back in the 50s. And essentially when they went in and they did that release, it was called Operation Sea Spray. And the U.S. Navy came in and released this bacteria all over the city for like 7 days and released it into the fog. People started getting respiratory issues and started getting UTIs, all directly linked to this bacteria. One guy that had a surgery ended up dying. And the U.S. government denied it for decades that they ever did this. And then it came out, I think, like 1973 or 1978, that it was Operation Sea Spray. And they released this bacteria for 6 days straight into the city to track and determine how San Francisco would handle a biological attack and how well it would spread from the city to the suburbs, and monitor it with this really weird, like some red bacteria. I don't have all the information on it, but I was reading about it the other day. And I thought to myself, isn't it so funny? They do this, they deny it. They said they had nothing to do with it. They were not involved with it all the way through the 50s and the 60s. And finally it came out in the 70s. Oh, by the way, we were the ones who did that. We lied to everyone about it. We denied all of it. And we made counter accusations to it. And you're going, that's just what they do now. That's why you can't believe anything you're told. That's why when you see these protests now and all these stuff happen all across the country that are starting to pop up, you best believe this is well organized and it's not some organic protest because people are frustrated right now. They're spooling up for something. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I always, you know, carry a nice, clean, healthy firearm on my person all the time when I go out. That's why everybody else does it in Florida, because we don't really play that game at all down here. Now, some of these areas, I don't like Miami, period. I don't go to Jacksonville, period. I just whatever. I mean, I got some good customers down there, but it's just those places. I don't like high-density populations. It's sketchy to me. I like being around very open areas where I can see stuff, you know, not, you know, enough.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, I really was never a fan of Miami. Certainly, Key West is nice terrain, but the population there, that's something different. And then you've got Jacksonville. Wow. Yeah, so I'm right there with you, 100%. Interestingly enough, you know, just going back a little bit, how many people have, I mean, people don't realize or forget history. When you think about AIDS and Fauci, back in the 80s, in the 80s, Fauci was director of the National Institute of NIAID, of course. Okay. He was the very people who today were shilling for the masks and social distancing and for the jabs were protesting against Fauci because of the way he handled the AIDS, I'm going to say epidemic, but when you get down into what was going on, it was a created crisis, just like the COVID was. But folks research that. It's just a fascinating study in how people can be convinced that one day he's a villain by the left, and the next day he's a hero of the left. It doesn't make any sense unless you're part of the left. No, it doesn't.
That's why they put him in that position. I mean, Fauci was the key instrumental factor to get remdesivir approved for COVID-19.
Yeah.
Remdesivir was tested in 2016 by Gilead to get approval as essentially an Ebola drug in Africa. Within the first week, they had to pull half the participants off of it because it was killing them. You can look it up. It's half has been scrubbed now. Well, that wasn't necessarily true. This happened. They're changing the entire narrative. It used to be on Wikipedia. You can't even find it on there now about what happened in Africa with Ebola in 2016 in remdesivir. It doesn't exist. Every place I go, it keeps getting less and less to find. He's the one who got it approved. Then Canada approved it. Everybody started approving it. Remdesivir was never even going to market. It got shelved in 2016, 2017, because Gilead couldn't show that it was actually effective enough not to kill people and not kill the virus, too. So shelved it. Suddenly, COVID comes out. Remdesivir, it's the drug of choice. How much clinical trials have we done on it? Oh, it's safe and effective. Don't ask questions. The COVID came out, what, January, February? That's when allegedly they told us. By April, it was already approved for COVID-19. How do you take a drug that got shelved in 2016 and suddenly have it approved for a virus in 2 to 3 months for human usage and roll it out across the entire country? Answer, cheat sheet, they already planned rolling it out in advance. They already knew what they were going to do with the drug. It was pre-planned to use remdesivir intravenously on patients in the hospital for COVID-19 to increase the death rate because they knew what it did to the liver and the kidneys, blew the kidneys out. Once the kidneys stop flushing blood, they swell up, body swells up, you get pulmonary edema, start having issues with the lungs, lungs fill up with fluid. Oh, we got to put them on a ventilator. Put them on a ventilator. They were dead. 90% of the people who went on ventilators and remdesivir died. I think 90-95%. They knew it in advance. They weren't that stupid. And that's the problem I have is so many people try to make excuses. Well, they were just following orders or they just approved it. They didn't just – nothing is coincidental with the government. They don't do anything by accident anymore. Not with AI, not with the geo-tracking, not with DHS, not with everything they do in monitoring stuff. They're not that stupid. They're insanely smart and they monitor everything. So yes, do I think people need to be held accountable and held to justice? But I pray for it a lot. But yep. Is it going to happen? I don't know. It's something we can keep pushing for and getting truth out there. That's why I encourage people to do research on these topics so you realize what actually happened. Because if you follow CNN and Fox, boy, you're going to be the most uneducated, misdirected, poor soul of an individual running around thinking you actually know what you're talking about. You're just spewing just propaganda. It's nauseating, Doug.
I'll tell you, you are 100% correct. Right or left, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, Fox, whatever, it doesn't matter. The level of knowledge is suppressed on all corporate media, regardless of what side you're on. It's suppressed. And you mentioned something earlier about entries like, for example, Wikipedia and other locations. Information disappearing and how convenient that is, man. I'm telling you, it's happening more and more. Go ahead.
Well, it's crazy here. Like, I just pulled it up. It's gone as far as the thing in Africa now on Wikipedia. Yep. But even when you go on Wikipedia now, they still have to get rid of this because it's on the insert. Side effects of remdesivir, most common adverse effects with people treated remdesivir were respiratory failure and blood biomarkers of organ impairment or failure. Respiratory failure was the main side effect from remdesivir.
It's
a great idea for a virus that attacks the lungs. Great idea.
Right, right. And how can you even justify its use? Well, I guess if you're objective is to get rid of the useless eaters, the people who I guess that would be the drug of choice. So there you have it. Austin Brower, folks, Austin Brower, this is why his level of knowledge about product, about health, about all of this, this is why I absolutely love Health Masters. I personally, my entire family takes Health Masters, and there's nothing else that compares product wise to the quality of their products. I stand behind Health Masters. I'm a walking testament to the benefits of the supplements. So folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box, but my goodness, do so now. And just make sure you stock up on what you need. And again, you know, quality is important. They've got the top quality product, at least in my view. And I did some research about vitamin D. Pairing up of D3, K2, it obviously makes it more effective, but in terms of the quality, different quality from different locations, Amazon to even to like Walgreens or whatever they might, or even some of the I want to say health food stores. I'm not going to name any names, but there is a huge difference in the quality of products. So you can always trust Health Masters. So on all of the products, Health Masters.
Well, and the thing is, the longer we actually do real research now, especially because intel is so much easier to gather and research is so much easier to basically expand out and be able to really get to people. You know, the paper released by the American Journal of Clinic Nutrition on May 27th from the American College of Georgia, researchers looked from a randomized controlled trial known as Vital, showing taking vitamin D supplements and what it supports. This was the first large-scale, long-term randomized trial to show that vitamin D supplements protects telomeres and preserves telomere length, being talking about basically in the brain. Also, is particular interest as far as when it protects, of chromosomes. And so it's a particular interest because Vital had also shown benefits of vitamin D in reducing inflammation, lowering risk of selected chronic diseases of aging, such as advanced cancer and autoimmune diseases. And I talked about essentially the same thing again. The higher the amount of ID in the of D3 in the bloodstream, the less aging, the less effects, the less amounts of cancer, the less autoimmune issues with people. And so you watch this now more and more, and you realize this stuff really works. The research is really showing this now. It helps with the biological clock and with aging the body, and why it's so important to really keep your body loaded up on this stuff and essentially protecting the chromosome. It says the telomeres, which are made up of sequences of DNA, prevent the ends of chromosomes from merging with other chromosomes or deteriorating over time. Vitamin D helps with this. And so it shows in the detail in the study. I'll post on the website if you want to see it. I sent the link to Eric earlier, and this is why, like you said, the quality, the dosage, the amount, the frequency, and like I said, if you need it for, you know, one capsule every other day, I think there's 90 capsules in a bottle, 60 capsules, 90 capsules. No, what is it on there? Yeah, 90, 60. So, I mean, if you're taking it every other day, it's like a 4-month supply. If you need it every day, it's a 2-month supply. It works great. It's cost effective, especially for the quality. And I highly encourage everyone to stay up to date, especially the vitamin C, the zinc, and the D3. Those three were a staple from the beginning before COVID, during COVID, and after COVID. And they work really well, which is why we have such a good success rate with that kit, Doug.
Fantastic. Again, folks, teamhealthmasters.com. What else you got on tap there for us? Because, I was watching the chat and I saw some comments saying that your show today was fabulous. Every show I listen to with you and your father are just tremendous. I'm telling you, it's for me, It's a routine where I listen, and I obviously incorporate some of the subject matter into our platform. What else is on your mind? What else are you looking at?
Well, there was, this is a little bit more of a common down. It got me all riled up with everything with COVID. I'm very passionate about a lot of friends dying. The FDA, and I talked about some on our show earlier today. People remember this. I keep doing more research. It gets worse. The FDA approves the first lab-grown salmon based solely on manufacturer safety claims. And I sent the link to Eric if he wants to look it up.
It shows here
the FDA said that it understood from wild types, the manufacturer's own safety testing, that the company concluded the food comprised of or containing the cultured cellular material made by the company's production process was as safe as comparable foods produced by other methods. I don't even know what the heck that's supposed to mean. Like that's your big basis of comparing safety. And so this is lab-grown salmon now. They're growing it in a lab, stainless steel vats. You guys are going to love this. So essentially what they did was they go in and they developed this stuff. And let me pull it up here. I was reading about it earlier. It just got worse the more I read about it. So they replicate cultured cells technology borrowed from Big Pharma. Of course they do. And it says wild types fish is made from cultural cells of living coho salmon cultivated in steel vats where the fish tissue is fed proprietary cell nutrient blend to help it grow rapidly. That's proprietary cell nutrient blend. That's what they're getting fed. And this is what they submitted to the FDA. The salmon is also made from water and other undisclosed ingredients. I kid you not. The cells are harvested, then put in a plant-based scaffold to help it replicate the look and texture, then rinsed, processed, and packaged. The details of the proprietary methods for making the cells grow so quickly and test them for contaminants aren't available for public scrutiny either. The company does not divulge what it uses to give the salmon its pink color, nor will it divulge their entire undisclosed ingredient list. But they said not to worry. It's safe for everybody to eat because we said so.
Yeah.
I don't know how much weirder this gets. I don't want salmon raised in a stainless steel vat grown at an exponential rate with proprietary methods. You know, think about it. It sounds a lot like they're growing cancer tumors, which other companies have already gotten kind of busted for that technology. You know, you may kind of wonder this. What they're putting in this proprietary cell nutrient blend to make these cells grow so rapidly, what happens when you start eating this stuff on a regular basis? Could it possibly start causing cancer cells to grow rapidly in the body? I don't know. I'm speculating. Nobody knows because they won't even tell you what's in it. They won't tell you exactly how it's made, but they're telling us it's safe. So, I mean, again, you know, it's like Pfizer. You know, they said it's safe and effective. Why would we not believe them?
It's not like they're vested or anything like that, right?
No, Jack. It's not like they're going to make, you know, millions or billions of dollars selling this stuff. The problem is what's going to happen is a lot of these places, from what I've read, because they know there's not going to be a market at the store, because a lot of people can look at it and go, you know, even if they package it real nice and pretty little bow, lab-grown salmon, people look at it and go, ugh. I'm not eating that crap. I'm like, I'll at least be a wild caught. What they're going to do is they're going to use it in restaurants. That's the target market, restaurants and sushi. And so it sucks because there's a really good sushi place in Winter Haven that I like, and they actually have a little bit of wild caught that you could use on some of this stuff. And I got to ask about it. So I'm going to be like, listen, I don't want any lab-grown salmon in my sushi. That's no bueno. No, we don't need any of that. I'm going to stay away from it. Yeah, that's an interesting article.
Yes. And wow. Wouldn't there have to be a disclosure like with restaurants? I'm just asking whether it's salmon or beef or, you know.
I hope so. I've heard this that on the menu they have to disclose it because I've been at restaurants before now and they'll have basically, you know, plant-based beef burgers and stuff like that. I don't know though if this stuff is actually getting the green light as a salmon food, if they're going to put on their lab grown salmon or they're going to have an asterisk or something. I don't know the restrictions on restaurants with that. I know with plant-based stuff they list it because a lot of vegans like that real gay stuff, like, you know, plant-based burgers made out of soybeans. I still haven't figured out why people eat that. It's like canola oil and soybean protein. I'm like, really? That's what you want to eat? I mean, if you don't want to eat a lot of meat, got it. Eat some farm or some wild-caught fish. you know, some organic eggs. Like, but dude, no, man.
Nothing with a face. No, yeah. Whatever. Jesus.
Maybe go to the vegans. Like, well, it was grown in a lab. Yeah. It was cultured tissue. It wasn't a fish that was harvested. So I'll eat it now. And I'm like, have fun with that.
Incredible. Enjoy.
No go for me.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, there's so much stuff. I don't want to take more of your time. You've been gracious with your time. Team Health Masters, is HR5 active or not?
It is not. Thank you for reminding me. I can activate it after the show. I'll put a note up on that. There was one thing that I wanted to bring to attention that nobody really has talked about at all.
Go for it.
Take a look here. And it is the massive ongoing cyber attack with UNFI.
And I'm glad you brought that. Please.
Yes. This hasn't gotten any media coverage. And I didn't think much about it until I started to see what they're planning this weekend with the military parade, which is going to be pretty cool in D.C. But now these riots, just agitators. And UNFI, the reason why I know this is because I used to work with UNFI. We used to have a distributorship for them. They eventually cut us off when they did the contract with Whole Foods because pretty much they're a huge Whole Foods distributor. But they also distribute another like 250,000 grocery stores. UNFI is massive. They're one of the largest grocery distribution giants in the entire country. And essentially, we weren't doing enough volume for them as a grocer. And so they cut us off, which I don't blame them because they were doing trips to us every week because we were ordering food and we were selling stuff out of the office. And it just became problematic because their minimums kept going through the roof. And they want to go with all their heavy hitters, whatever. But they said, essentially, they're diligently managing the cyber incident they confirmed on Monday. They're helping customers with short-term solutions, but apparently it's massively affecting all their distribution, especially frozen foods, to 250,000 grocery stores, including Whole Foods. They said the company has not described the nature of the cyber attack, but they said the intrusion was causing ongoing disruptions to its operations, including its ability to fulfill and distribute all customer orders. So they were shipping to customers on a very limited basis what they could. And this was going really rough yesterday. It's still been ongoing today. The issue is, and I know this from working in retail, and I know this from grocery stores, they don't operate on a very wide margin of products coming in. They have to have constant inventory on a regular basis, especially when it comes to fresh food. And that's why, I mean, it's just-in-time inventory with a lot of them. You start cutting these guys off for 2-3 days, they can manage it. They can move some stuff around. They may get low on some stuff. You start cutting them off 4 or 5 days, it becomes an issue. You start cutting them off a week plus from grocery stores, you start having shortages very quickly, and that's without an issue of people coming in and having runs on food if they find out this is happening. So this has been kept kind of hush-hush. Again, nothing to panic about, but I would always say, and I've told people this all the time, always try to have some stocked up, whether you want the organic food buckets that I keep, whether you want to have MREs, canned food, whatever works best for you, but buy something. You know, the organic ones that I have are 25-year shelf life. I recommend, honestly, I like to have a variety. I have a lot of food buckets stored up, certain areas, multiple areas. Then I have, you know, some MREs that I cycle through. That I have some canned food just so you got backup stuff because, you know, it wouldn't take. And I'm not saying this is fear porn. I'm saying this is being a realist because I've seen stuff like this happen. All it would take is a couple massive protests in a couple major distribution areas, and all of a sudden food stops coming. Restaurants and stores and grocery stores start getting limited. People hear that it's getting limited and food's not getting distributed on the news and social media. Social media runs the country now when it comes to updates in real time. People then rush the stores, buy it out. The distribution's still held back. Now, all of a sudden, in a week or so, there's no food on the shelf. I've watched it happen here during hurricanes repeatedly when people get spooked and everybody goes in. And I've gone in before to grab something extra, something stupid. I'm like, hey, I'm going to stock up on some more batteries or something. I don't have enough, even though I always have a lot. And you'll go in, the food shelves are like stripped, water aisle gone. There's not a single gallon or bottle of water on the entire shelf. And it's like that for 3, 4, 5 days. Because after the hurricane, once the hurricane hits, distribution still limited. So again, my opinion, stay stocked up on some stuff. Weird things are happening right now, and it's not coincidence, in my opinion. Just my take.
Well, back what you said about UNFI, it's interesting because this morning the news reported that Whole Foods said that the cyber attack is affecting UNFI's ability to select and ship products from their warehouses. So they're already experiencing shortages from this cyber attack. And you know, I don't believe in coincidences.
I don't either.
There's something not right here. So indeed, now you mentioned food buckets. Talk to me about those. What do you have in terms of long-term storable food?
We've kept it simple. You know, I keep the organic food buckets, which are primarily all carbs. They're 25 year. And then I also, the regular ones, it's just carbs. And then I also have the meat buckets, which are 15 year shelf life. And those run pretty good too. I mean, both of them are high in sodium. They taste decent. I've eaten all of them. They're not bad for what they are. They're great backup. It's not something that I'd want to live on for 2 or 3 years, because after a certain period of time, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go grab a deer. I'm going to get some other stuff. But they're great backups to keep people fed, especially in an emergency, and have hot chow on the plate for everybody when they come in from chainsawing or working. And they work great for that. And so I got two different options, the meat, the carbs, the organic ones. I got, you know, singles, doubles, four packs on them. And like I said, you know, people come, oh, I'm going to buy like a year's supply of buckets. Cool, dude. If that's what you want to do and you got a huge family, do it. You got the means to do it. It's not a bad idea. It's recommended. But also, if you're tight on cash, you're trying to have stuff, you know, buy a bucket once a month or every other month or every 2 or 3 months when stuff's good, when it's easy, when it's cheap, when it's, you know, easy to get. That way, if something happens, you go, you know what? Got a couple buckets. I try to, me personally, with food, I like to have at least a 30-day supply for every person involved in my family on a calorie basis for what they need. That's the one thing, whether you get MREs, whether you get food buckets from me, whether you get beans and rice, be realistic about your calories. This is something that most people don't want to talk about. You see these buckets and they're like, 4 weeks worth of food, 28 days. When you do the math on it, and you find out it's 28 days worth of food at like 600 calories a day. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're outside and you're working, if you're cutting trees down, if you're chaining stuff up, if you're hauling stuff, which happens a lot of times in emergency, you're not going to operate at 215 pounds at 600 calories a day very long. You can do it, and you're going to start feeling, you're going to be gassed out. So what's going to happen is that bucket is going to last you like 28 days. It's going to go to like a week. And then you're like, oh man, I thought I had this amount of food. So based on real world calories that you actually need to be active, not on some, you know, just fairy tale land. You know, I'm going to live on 600 calories a day as a full size man. No, you're not. It's not, you're not going to function good on it. You're going to lose weight really, really quickly. And you have no energy at all. And you're going to eat more food. So just, that's my take on it. Do your due diligence. But this whole thing with UNFI just seemed a bit odd to me, timing right now, right when all this other weird stuff's happening. Just my take.
And let's not forget too, you remember the food distribution plants, the warehouses that had accidents, whether there were fires or explosions, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And they were at the hubs as opposed to warehouses. I mean, there were warehouses, but they were specifically targeted, it seemed like. You know, whatever happened, we have collectively, I think we've got short memories. We don't remember things like that.
And that's why UNFI, this thing UNFI spooked me a little bit, because like just their last quarter projections or last quarter earnings, they did, I think, $8.1 billion in net sales, not gross sales, net sales last quarter. So, I mean, they're a big company. I mean, they're pumping out, you know, 25, 30, 40 billion a year on average, depending on what they're doing. They're not some little distribution center. They move some serious food all across the country, 250,000 grocery stores across the country. So when you see a company like this go down and they can't distribute anything, again, like I said, this isn't some local, like, you know, Albertsons that went out of business or Winn-Dixie where it's like, okay, this is going to be isolated to a region, an area, or a state. This is nationwide. And so just, it's something that I, you know, like to keep everybody apprised on what's going on now.
Weird things are indeed happening. I think we really need to be paying attention Well, we should pay attention all the time, but now with the I don't even know. What would you call this taking place right now? A color revolution, I suppose, as opposed to any kind of civil war. But you've got these individuals, entities, NGOs, non-governmental entities, as well as some within the government that are declaring war on our republic. So we better be watching what's going on here.
Well, you know, and you see this with, you know, these people run around waving Mexican flags and other countries' flags. I don't care what you do. If you're in United States soil and you're waving another country's flag in an act of defiance or dominance, you're basically trying to provoke a conflict, period.
Yes.
I mean, in any conflict throughout history, one side has their flag, their stripes, their shield. The other side has theirs. Whoever wins, either one keeps theirs up, the other one takes it down and puts a new one up. So when you start seeing this now, it's pretty much trying to revolutionize another foeman, another conflict, by saying, we're here, we're better than you in your country, waving our country's flag, but we don't want to go back to our country because we're here to take over your country. That's how anybody takes it in the real world. I don't care what flag it's from. I don't care if it's Russian flag. I don't care if it's Israeli flag. I don't care if it's a Mexican flag. If you're waving another country another flag of another country on U.S. soil in defiance, basically trying to object the United States, that's an act of defiance and dominance. You're trying to have a conflict. And that's just how it's been for thousands of years. And so when you're seeing this now, people are trying to justify it. I'm like, I don't care. There's no way to justify that, unless you're trying to justify a conflict, and that appears to be what's going on. Now, I did see something earlier, which if you got any intel on this, it came out just a little bit ago, how Trump's ordered all the civilian evacuations at U.S. bases in a bunch of Middle Eastern countries right now.
Yes.
Which they haven't done in a while. I mean, they're like evacuating embassies and everything. Have you heard anything else about that? I saw it before the show.
Yes. Now, the... I don't have any good, solid intel I would lead off with. I've been hearing things like this is related perhaps to the increased rhetoric by Iran. So there's a number of different excuses I've heard, but in terms of intelligence,
I didn't hear much about it earlier, but basically they were saying that they said evacuating non-essential staff from the Baghdad embassy and a few other ones with the State Department. They're pulling people out of it immediately. So, again, I don't know what's going on. I know Iran's been a conflict. And it's funny to me because, you know, whenever they need a distraction, we always have a riot or we have a war. We have something. This has been – God, it gets so annoying after a while. And, you know, they're trying to pass this big bill, which puts all kinds of crazy stuff in the works, which is also funding the Palantir. They're also doing all these different things behind the scenes. This whole Doge conflict with Elon and Trump last week, which, like, they tried to scrap that. Now Doge is, like, dissolving. They're like, oh, no, Doge is still in effect. We're going to go in and audit these agencies. They're not doing crap anymore, dude, from what I'm hearing. They're going in, oh, we need to cut a little, you know, you don't need any pencils. We're cutting back on rubber bands.
Yeah.
Like, okay, no. What happened was I think Elon got in there and got way too deep in a lot of the information and started cutting way too much cash. And all of a sudden, like you said, these NGOs, all these agencies that are used to foment change and do whatever they want, I think all of a sudden it was like, whoa, you're cutting USAID? Like, that's the CIA's little slush fund piggy bank. Like the run
exactly.
What are you talking about? You know, I'm cutting USAID. And all of a sudden, Elon Musk like, yeah. I need to see where the $5 million went to the Peruvian transgender comic book contract. And they're like, oh, what? Huh? You're not supposed to know about that. He's like, well, I know about all these contracts. Because, you know, I mean, he's pretty attention to detail on this stuff. And it's funny. I mean, they snapped that tight. So look who you can't talk about. Look who you can't criticize. Look who you can't cut the budget on. You start finding out who might be ruling things behind the scenes. And I still yet can find anybody to give me an answer. What happened to auditing Fort Knox gold?
I was thinking about that again.
I've talked to a lot of people about it. I've even talked to some people in politics about it. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. Not topic anymore. And I'm like, it's actually a really big topic. Nobody was talking about it, though, which is weird to me. I can't find anything on it all anymore. So what it may be, I don't know, but it's definitely, I don't think the goal's there, because clearly all they'd have to do, if Trump wanted to, like we talked about, he could say, you know what, I'm in a mood today. I'm in a big mood. I'm in a very big mood. I want to audit Fort Knox. And he takes some jets, gets escort, goes to Fort Knox, gets on Twitter. Here's a photo of the gold. Here's a photo of more gold. Here's a photo of more gold. Yeah, there's a lot of gold here. We'll audit it later, but here's some gold photos. And then zips out. He ain't done nothing. He ain't even gone over there. He don't even talk about it anymore.
It's funny how that, just fell off the radar. I'd like it audited, tested, and I want some accountability there. But I don't think, I just don't think that's what we're not going to get any of that. So, again, there are so many things that need done right now. But like you said, you know, things like the auditing of the gold falls off people's radar, falls off the agenda, and never be picked up again. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Just a lot of things and stuff.
Well, it is. It's the same way, like, you know, we prioritize all this stuff as far as with, you know, getting rid of illegals and deporting them, which is great. A lot of these violent criminals need to be thrown out. Why haven't we gone off anybody? Why haven't we gone off anybody on the Epstein file list? Everybody's talking about, oh, they have to cover this and they have to cover that. Why is it that we even have to know anything about the victims? That can be completely and totally confidential. We don't need to know their information. Why don't we know the list of individuals that are connected with Jeffrey Epstein and work with him in detail on a regular basis? Then Elon Musk drops that bombshell on Friday on X and comes back and deletes it and retracts it. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Was that theater? Or was he pissed off enough that he dropped the, you spilled the beans about this? He goes, oh, nothing to see here. Don't worry about that. Why isn't it the Epstein files can't get released with everybody's on it? I think because there's both sides of both parties involved with Epstein, because he was so big with Mossad and so involved with human trafficking. They don't ever want anybody to know how deep and dark that rabbit hole went. Hence why they don't talk about it anymore. Hence why Elon Musk deleted the tweet. Just my two cents on it, because that's just, I don't know, an interesting, weird, dark topic that nobody wants to touch anymore.
And the thing that bothers me about that even more, I mean, the biggest thing, I guess, that bothers me about that is, what about the victims? You know, is anyone thinking about the victims and justice for them? I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing any. And you know, exposure has a way to, I suppose, if you expose some of the perpetrators, justice may follow, or at least it'll give justice a path to follow.
Yep.
So we need that, and we're not seeing that. We're seeing a lot of like you said, theater. That Pam Bondi thing with the binders. What
theater.
A bunch of crap!
It was all that was. Theater.
It was
now,
all theater.
Backing at, now she played everybody. The whole thing was played.
Yeah.
Right out the gate, right, Trump got elected. Everybody wants to say, we got it. The files are on my desk. We're coming out these binders with nothing in them. Then suddenly comes out, oh, by the way, the FBI grabbed everything now. They haven't finished combing through it. Man, that was, what, 3-4 months ago now? You're telling me the FBI can go find a little lady in Nebraska right after January 6th and arrest her because she walked around the camera on the Capitol stairs? You can't seem to probe through the documentation of who Epstein was directly involved with trafficking children to? Give me a break, dude. And so it's more and more and more. It's just,
yeah, that's true, my friend.
I did see, though, I want to bring this up.
One, go ahead.
One good last story here. Trump confirmed, speaking of this, U.S.-China trade deal, at least we can have some semblance of normality in the markets maybe for a day or two before.
Yeah, what was that? 55-10 in percentage. But go ahead.
I can't get mad at this. This is something that should have been done a while back ago. I think a lot of the rhetoric, you know, it reached a point to where we needed some balance. They said 55% us, they get 10. We get access to the rare earth metals and the magnets still. And, you know, I haven't seen all the details of it. Just reading some of the stuff on Epic Times and a few other platforms. It seemed pretty decent. And so from a trade standpoint, from a manufacturing standpoint, from an inventory standpoint, for a lot of companies that I know that I've worked with, I know they're happy about this, because that whole thing went to crap fast. I mean, you had that one company, I know, lighting company, they had a gigantic order PO already done, coming in from China. It gets to the, you know, basically the port. They won't release it. 125% tariff on top. It was like $120,000 PO that was declared. You know, suddenly they got to come up with like $160,000 in tariffs to get it cleared. And it was a boondoggle. They're like, we can't take it. We don't know what to do. We can't absorb this. This isn't possible to run a fair market. So doing how that happened, that was a mess. So I'm glad we got something to balance out now from a business standpoint with this whole thing with China now. So that if 55%, we should still start seeing some manufacturing really kind of start spooling up in the United States with some stuff that we can actually make a big difference. And I think it'll make a difference to give incentive enough to really start making some stuff here in the United States, at least my opinion and my gauging how I talk to some other people that I know in the markets.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think we're headed in the proper direction. It might not have been as smooth and hasn't been that smooth, but I think it's going to kind of smooth itself out, I suppose, as time goes on. Just like the China situation, which is a huge deal no one's talking about, or very few people are talking about, or talking about it correctly. So like you said, you know, I think the impact is going to be overall favorable economically. And if we can drag especially the pharmaceuticals from China into the U.S., man,
yes.
Wow, we need that. And the associated equipment with the medical equipment as well. So because we cannot rely on that. This is a national security issue that we have.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is when you start having life-saving stuff like, you know, insulin, penicillin, antibiotics, primarily all manufactured out of country, that's a serious issue, because if all of a sudden companies out of countries say, oh, by the way, we're not going to sell this to you anymore, or we're going to put 500% tariffs on them now in order to get this stuff, it puts us in a real precarious situation. And I mean, the same thing, like I want to see what's going to happen with Europe now with the vehicle market, because I've always been a big motorhead. I've involved a lot of dealerships, you know, and that coming out now, so we're going to start adding 10, 15, 25% tariffs on everything coming to the United States. You know, I think we should be able to bring some of our sports cars like Corvette C8s and stuff and ZR1s and Z06s to Europe without enormous tariffs. And I think Europe should be able to bring theirs here. You know, going in and trying to put these gigantic tariffs on equally competing cars in an industry that's ever evolving to see who can produce the most power, fastest speeds, best track times, I think that's equally lucrative for everybody in a market like that. Stuff with China, considering the fact that they have so much in so many different pockets, they definitely needed to ease some tariffs on this. But the automotive industry, we don't need more problems in the financial issues with the automotive industry. It's already a debacle right now with what's happened with the COVID prices, with the addendums, with the stuff dropping off now, with depreciation. I mean, I know so many dealerships, and this is the first time I've ever talked to a lot of my dealer buddies and my sales guys where they're going, almost everybody with a trade in is upside down that's coming in now, whether it's $2,000 or $3,000 upside down to all the way to $30,000 to $40,000 upside down in trades, and they're trying to roll over negative equity. And they say they've never seen anything like it. And that's because of the big COVID boom and the prices that people got into. And now all of a sudden, like, oh, I want to get rid of my car. I've had it for 3 or 4 years. Then they go in and they're like, yeah, well sorry, you paid $90,000 for a car that was worth $50,000 back then. Now it's worth $20,000. And it's a serious problem. Defaults are almost an all-time high right now as far as on repossessions with cars. And so I think throwing tariffs on more cars and more parts all across the country and in Europe, I don't think that's going to benefit the United States at all, because the money is going to be minuscule that we bring in tariffs. And what it's going to do to consumers is going to be horrific in the long term of things. Short term, it may not have a huge effect, but it will long term with MSRP prices continuing to go up and basically pricing everybody out of vehicle markets. That's just my take on it.
Wow. And folks, that's why I listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. You heard just a little taste, really, of the information that's dropped every day between Ted and Austin Brewer. Yeah, they cover a lot of ground, and you're hearing him tonight, Austin, tonight, talking about a number of different things. Austin, you're welcome to finish out the show with us. We have another half hour, unless you've got a bolt, in which case I understand.
No, I'll run it back with you, man. I've got a few other topics we can cover. I got some other stuff. I've been been running around all day, you know, just trying to stay updated on this. Tomorrow I'll be running solo.
Ooh.
With Ted's out of town, so I'll be running solo on my show. So I'll probably everybody's just gonna get a whole plethora of me for the last couple days, so nobody minds. But I mean, this is why I try to do this, because I mean, my goal with our show, with your show, is try to bring everybody, you know, high speed, low drag, so to speak, use that terminology, where it's just you're moving fast, you got topics, you get information, you get it done, and you go. I'm the kind of guy, like, I don't have time to listen to a 4-hour podcast. I just don't have time. You know, give me the cliff notes on it. Give me the data. Give me the documentation. Let me look some stuff up on it. And that's what we try to do in our show, is we put the articles on the website so you can look at them. We bring you the information. I tell you what's going on. I give you my opinion, but I also give you both sides of the narrative. You know, and that's why, like, earlier I talked about on the show today. You know, I see certain things from one side. I see certain things from another side, you know, but whenever you start having certain groups to say, you can't talk about this group, you can't make jokes about this group, you can't bring these topics up, they're forbidden. Then you start running a point. Like, there was an article somewhere the other day. I think somebody's like in another country. I'd have to pull it up again. I saw it very briefly. Somebody's like going to prison in another country because they made a bunch of Jewish jokes as a comedian. And a bunch of people on social media that was what I saw, they're going nuts about it, because they're like, you know, at what point do you start having individuals that are somewhat this protected class that nobody can talk about? You know, I can joke about Muslims, I can joke about Christianity, I can joke about Buddhism, but I can't talk about this sacred topic. And it's not that I think people should be going around trying to actively offend or make fun of a certain religion, but it comes a point in time where it's like, you can't reach a point where you're so tight wound, you can't even have a sense of humor to joke at certain things and go, yeah, that's not funny. We can't talk about that. That's real Stalinish. And I think that's the point that a lot of people are getting fatigued on. Why so many people now are starting to loosen up some and going, dude, it doesn't matter. You know, get your feelings off your sleeves. People are going to say stuff that offends you. And that's part of being in a republic. Isn't it? You know, you have the ability to kind of speak your mind, as long as you're not impeding somebody's freedoms, as long as you're not causing bodily harm, and as long as you're not preventing somebody, essentially, or defrauding somebody, preventing them from being able to live freely, you can pretty much say whatever you want. Like it, love it, hate it, doesn't matter. You know, but there's a reason why we have a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. We've never been based or founded as a democracy. Democracy is 51% of the people vote, the 49% can't do what they want, and they have to do what we tell you to do. That's a democracy. That's not a republic. Everybody is a free person in a republic, and that's what they're slowly trying to step away from. There's a reason why all the Democrats, all the mainstream media, They never mention a constitutional republic. They always say, this is ruining democracy. You're taking away democracy. They say it all the time. Yes. Around most people, they actually think we're a democracy. And we were never founded as that. We were never built for that. We were never designed to be that. And it's kind of crazy to me how it's like what Joseph Goebbels said. If you say the lie long enough, if you make the lie big enough, eventually everybody will start believing the lie. And we're watching that come to fruition now, man. Very oddly.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned about democracy, because that rolls off the tongues of so many people so easily.
I know.
You know, and it people don't think we've never been, nor should we ever be, a democracy. It is a constitutional republic, representative republic, if you will, but no, not a democracy for sure. So yes, I'm glad you brought that up, and we all should watch how we say things and understand why. You know, they're pushing for that democracy angle as opposed to a constitutional republic, because that's what they're after. And really, that's, not right. Interesting.
Because the main basis, the really big differentiation, is when a democracy, it's the majority will. So that's what I was referring to. If you have 51% says that 49% can't do this and can't have a right, suddenly they become empowered. They're voting themselves as the majority will. That's not how republic works. And so we slowly turn this ideology where we think that's the way it is operational, and it's not. And so again, that's, I don't know, man, seeing all this stuff happen, that's why I try to keep encouraging people to do research, because the mainstream media, now social media, has been infiltrated by so many bad agents. They're doing everything they can to try to just gaslight people. I mean, so I saw the other day, the mayor of LA and Newsom, they were going, why are you guys upset? These people are protesting. There's nothing violent going on here. There's no insurrection. There's nothing happening. Why are we bringing the Marine Corps in? Why are we bringing the National Guard in? We don't want them here. We're going to sue Donald Trump and get injunction, temporary injunction, so we can't bring in any. No, we don't need this. Nothing's going on. Isn't this the same mayor in L.A. that said they don't need to do any fire hydrant water testing right before the fires? Isn't this the same mayor that essentially cut funding to the fire departments? Isn't this the same mayor that promoted DEI and said it doesn't matter if you can't drag a 200-pound sack in training, you can't run a hose up a ladder, if you're gay or whatever you are, if that's you, you're automatically hired to be a firefighter because we like DEI more than we like preventing fires. The same mayor is saying, no, it's nothing. It's peaceful protesting while people burn cars in rows and throw cinder blocks on top of the heads of law enforcement from Overwatch on bridges and say, no, there's nothing happening here. You can't come up with this insane gaslighting, bro. It's bizarre. I've never seen it.
Man, you're accurate, and of course we remember her getting caught by the citizen journalist while she was at an airport coming back. I think she was coming back from Africa at the height of the fires, right? I mean, it was ridiculous. She was running away from the citizen journalist. I just found it very interesting, indeed. And you've got other people like the Ventura City Deputy Mayor Doug Halter talking about, everything's fine. All of this, everything that's happening is because of Donald Trump or the federal government enforcing the laws already on the books. It's their fault for enforcing the laws. It's ridiculous. I'm going to play, if you don't mind, there's a just a, under 2 minutes. It's a video of Patrick Bet-David talking about the dollars, the money behind what we see, the protests or what we're going to be seeing.
Oh yeah,
Let's hear it. Okay, we'll play it. This is cut 7. It's just under 2 minutes, but it's worth every second. And I thought I saw this, and I thought, well, this strikes right at what we're talking about, what we spoke about earlier. And by the way, when you're talking about the Mexican flags or other countries' flags, this already came out on social media. But one thing that we heard in monitoring the conversations about planning for this weekend, the organizers are saying, hey, don't carry Mexican flags or flags of another country, even Ukrainian flags. Carry American flags and dress up in either patriotic colors or wear Trump gear, because that way the optics, of course, you know, we can act up, but the optics will be like when we act up, it'll look like patriotic people and Trump
provocateurs
supporters
posing as MAGA individuals. That's what they're going to try to do. That I didn't realize you heard that. That makes sense, though. That way, when CNN covers, they can say, look at these violent MAGA supporters. They're coming out to fight the protesters. But you notice they always show these little snippet angles of certain things that they want to show. And that's where they're going to get the content. So, man, everybody needs to be aware of that, especially if you're around a protest. Be very cautious on who you talk to, who you associate with, and who you befriend and start following. Because we saw it during January 6th. You have all the Fed boys dressed up as MAGA supporters, encouraging people, break the window, knock down the door, come to find out dozens and dozens of confidential informants and FBI agents and many other provocateurs in there to basically start problems.
Well, and here's cut 7. It's about that as well. So here's cut 7, and then your thoughts on the other side. Here it is.
They're losing their minds. It's great to be on with you here. They're losing their minds. But here's the thing. When you look at Gavin Newsom, it's very interesting how opportunistic he is and what his format is. Blame, deflect, get emotional, play politics, spin a little bit. The guy is such a gifted spinner. Here's a challenge that Californians have to be thinking about. California, this is the closest it's ever been to being red. This is the closest California has ever been to being a red state in a long time. So now, a lot of the people that voted for Trump, the independents, the libertarians, and the conservatives in California that voted for Trump, they want to see changes in California. Are you going to fall for this tactic? He's separating families and their kids and all this other stuff. He's doing all this other stuff. It's going to be interesting watching how California handles this, because if they succeed in getting everybody else emotional, we know what game they're playing. June 14th is President Trump's 79th birthday, 250-year army. You got Flag Day. You got all this stuff that they're doing with America. They don't want to see any of these victories taking place. Axios article came out talking about 1,500 protests they're already planning in 50 states, funded by 100 progressive organizations, a lot of different NGOs. One of the Walton billionaires, Christy Walton, name was mentioned in New York Times. This is a $19, $20 billion type of person. A lot of this money, you hear Soros, all these other things that they're doing, they're planning this. You know what they're looking for? I hate to say this. They're looking for their next George Floyd. That is all they need. They need one person. They need one massive crisis. They have no policies. They have no good ideas. I've yet to see. I went on ChatGPT. I said, can you tell me what solutions Mayor Bass and Gavin Newsom have given to all these protesting? There is no solutions. It's meetings. It's suing Trump. Zero solutions. They have no ideas. They will lose miserably, but it's going to work on a small percentage of the populace. They're losing.
Interesting. Your thoughts on that, if any?
Yeah, very interesting take. I think he's well said on that. I didn't think about that. He's right. They want another George Floyd incident where they got somebody with the cameras recording somebody being put down, and they'll never show what that person was doing, whether they were stealing, whether they had a criminal background, whether they were firebombing. They'll show them on the ground with a knee on their neck, and it'll be some illegal, possibly, and they're going to sit there and say, oh my gosh, look at what they're doing. They're treating everyone like animals. And Newsom is opportunist. He always has been. Now, because the Latino vote is so big in California, you're going to swing everybody in his favor because he's coming out and he's fighting the orange man. He's going and standing up for the Latino voters in California, because I know there were a lot of people in California that wanted to vote for Trump because they wanted basically, you know, positive change. And now the problem with it is when you have a sanctuary state that proclaims their sanctuary state, tells every other country, South American country, come here, you're a sanctuary state. And then you have families. It has an exponential growth curve where families get in, they bring more families in, they have more kids. And so you've got these legacies almost in California of people that were, you know, are or were here illegally. And it affects everyone because now anybody that either is friends with them, they have family members that have come here, regardless, everybody now is anti-Trump because the big bad boogeyman sending ICE agents in to yank out and deport violent criminal gangs. I thought they were doing stuff a little bit more like going after basic people like Lowe's and stuff like that. I had heard that. I saw some stuff. But then the more research that I read and the intel that I saw is that most of this stuff, they were going after targeted individuals. Because there were a couple videos that popped out in Florida where you had ICE agents going to construction sites, and basically there was videos, guys on roofs and stuff, and they were seeing some of these guys disperse illegals. And I kind of thought to myself on both sides, because I was in the construction industry for years, and I dealt a lot that were basically illegals. And I can tell you, a lot of those guys at job sites, they're some of the hardest working guys I've ever been beside, realistically. They get stuff done. You know, are they here legally? Yes. Am I justifying that? Absolutely not. But that's some low-hanging fruit to go after as ICE, right? Most of the guys that are working 8, 9, 10 hours on a roof that are here illegally aren't the direct guys that are involved with trafficking narcotics in the United States. Let's just be real. They wouldn't be up there swinging a nail gun or swinging a hammer, running a nail gun for 10 hours a day. They'd be selling narcotics, making way more money. So going after the guys that are running guns, that are child trafficking, that are human trafficking, that are running dope, those are the ones that ICE needs to be doing investigations and building cases on, not pulling up the job sites in Florida and getting guys to disperse while they grab guys that are swinging hammers. I just thought that's my opinion on it. Some people may get mad at me, some may not. But
you're right. And if there's one more snippet that addresses this very issue, and this is cut four. The White House press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, talking about this issue. This is her first full White House briefing since the riots broke out in L.A. And this was, to me, this is about 2 minutes of very interesting audio and video, and the perception of just what you were talking about. And I'll end the videos with this. Folks, go to Hagmann PI for not just the show notes, but also for the link to Team Health Masters, Health Masters, and the Ted and Austin Broder Show. But check this out. I thought this was very interesting when I heard it. This is part of a larger, longer press conference, but here's cut four, 2 minutes.
In other words, the position of the Democrat Party is that the federal government is not allowed to enforce our laws and to arrest and deport illegal alien criminals. They're attempting to use a violent mob as a weapon against their own constituents to prevent the enforcement of immigration law. This is deeply un-American and morally reprehensible. President Trump received a clear mandate from voters to reverse the illegal invasion ushered in by Joe Biden's open border and to end the lawlessness represented by Karen Bass in Gavin Newsom's California. President Trump promised to carry out the largest mass deportation campaign in American history, and left-wing riots will not deter him in that effort. Sanctuary cities and states will no longer be allowed to shield illegal criminals from deportation. Just take a look at some of the illegal monsters who were taken off the streets in Los Angeles in recent days. A Vietnamese national, a known gang member with a conviction for second-degree murder. A Mexican national with convictions for child molestation who was armed with a dangerous weapon and had previous arrests for robbery and domestic violence. A Filipino national with convictions of rape, assault, burglary, and theft. A Mexican national convicted of statutory rape, narcotics violations, and hit and run. A Nicaraguan national with convictions for domestic violence and hit and run and a previous assault arrest for willful cruelty to a child. And an illegal alien from Mexico who was arrested after allegedly throwing a Molotov cocktail at law enforcement officers during the Paramount riots on Saturday. He is now being charged with attempted murder. Law-abiding American citizens do not want these public safety threats living in their communities, no matter what Democrats like Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom may claim. And let this be an unequivocal message to left-wing radicals in other parts of the country who are thinking about copycatting the violence in an effort to stop this administration's mass deportation efforts. You will not succeed. Any lawlessness will only strengthen this president's resolve to defend the majority of Americans who want to live their lives peacefully, free from the fear of violent criminal illegal aliens. As President Trump said, order will be maintained and illegal aliens will be expelled from our country.
And to be clear, I think there were upwards of 120 really bad criminals that were caught up, that were arrested, that were targeted and arrested. I think 330 in total, but I think 120 roughly that were already convicted of violent crimes or trafficking or related offenses. So meanwhile, the left is saying, wait a second, you're going after the day laborers and you're splitting up families, when in fact that's a very small subset of what they're actually doing. So I thought that was rather interesting how she laid that out. And the post-edited clip had all of the images, all of the pictures of everyone as she spoke about that. So I thought that was rather interesting, to your point, though. But
no, it's valid information. I'm glad you put that up there, because I know a lot of the stuff is, you know, it's being twisted on both sides. Because, you know, the way I've learned a long time ago, when you start seeing this opportunistic information and opportunistic events happening, it's not coincidental that this happened, whether or not who's involved or what. But the way you started having some of these incidents occur out in California all of a sudden, some of the stuff you've seen in other states, and at the same time, like I said, there's certain incidences that I have questions about that they won't address. Like, the two Mexican nationalists in Boulder City, Colorado last month that got stopped in a box van with 180,000 rounds of 30 caliber ammunition. 180,000 rounds of ammunition. What were they doing? I didn't hear glimpse of anything on the media or the White House. That should have made national news. What in the world are you doing with $250,000 and 30 cal ammunition driving into Boulder City, Colorado? It's two Mexican nationalists with one of your headlights are out.
Yeah.
That's $1 million question. That is an enormous amount of ammo, especially if you use it in belted machine guns. That is some serious suppressive firepower. But again, it's like certain things get brought up and they're like, well, this is who we got. This is what we got. At the same time, you know, like that one guy said, you got Trump's birthday coming up. You got the Army's birthday coming up. You got all these things coinciding right at the same time to make this perfect powder keg. What's the actual truth in the middle basis? I don't think anybody's ever going to get the true story on that. But one thing I do know is the best thing to do is not get wrapped up in the left-right narrative. Well, this happened, this one, this. Look at the actual what's happening. Try to come to a conclusion at the end of the day. Get ready for anything they're going to throw at us, because there's no question about it. Like he talked about with these NGOs, they are heavily funded. These guys are well organized. They have an enormous amount of cash flow. When you're seeing the numbers that you should got cut out, when you see these numbers that these contracts you're giving out that don't even get fulfilled, I mean, Elon Musk showed us that. I mean, $10 and $20 million contracts that never got filled, but they paid out. And nobody can figure out where all this money is going. You know where this money's going. It's going to fund instability and chaos like they need it to, because you've got to always have both sides. We're deporting everybody because they're illegal. Got it. Great idea. We're funding all these protest groups now. Got it. You've got to have the back and right narrative to keep everything chaos. And in my opinion, at the same time, we've got Palantir probably coming as a possible solution to all of this now, to fix everything with an AI database that'll monitor everyone, including illegals, and it'll make sure we give them a risk assessment score to every American for your safety and protection. And you kind of go, wait a minute, what happens if they come out now with ICE or DHS or any other agency and go, well, we're not just going after illegal immigrants anymore. We've got a lot of them out. We're going to start detaining high-risk individuals based on the Palantir risk schedule that we put together on the risk score.
Domestic threats, yes.
Domestic threats. If you don't think we've already been classified that, look at the documentation from the Biden administration and the Obama administration. You know, so that's the part when you start looking at this, is it goes both ways. When you start producing an AI, you start having a company that's got a $800 million contract starting out with DOD now for this program and plus, and they're going to start putting, allegedly, like I said, my contractor buddy, he was in the military for a very long time, worked with GRS. I mean, he was around it. And so he's saying that Palantir is going to be used allegedly to put a risk assessment score, compile on everybody's information, their data, their movement, their involvement, their internet searches, their gun purchases, who they hang around, where they go, what they eat, what they buy. And that's going to start building it. What happens when feds start going to certain places? Well, your risk score over 7 now. You're at a 7.5. Anything over a 7 is considered dangerous to domestic terrorist activity. We're going to have to detain you now and figure out what to do with you. Not saying that's going to happen. But it seems kind of odd they're already kind of spooling this up on the backside to assess this stuff with Palantir while nobody's talking about it, because they're building chaos with these riots now. It's
I did see Al Jones talk about Palantir, and the explanation he gave, I've got to find out from him a little bit more, because his explanation tended to create that as an either or. Either we do this and we capture that, or it goes sideways. But I'm trying to really drill down on this, and it just doesn't feel right. It does not. None of this feels right. Like,
well, if
you said,
ever noticed, and this is the thing I always try to convey to people, why I always think outside the box. I don't stay in lines. I draw outside of all of them. Every time they have to push more control, more dominance, more authoritarianism on us, they always give us, like you just said, either or. You remember when Bush got on national television and said, you're either with us,
or you're terrorists.
Yeah. You're with us or the terrorist. You're with the full invasion of Iraq, or you're with the terrorist. And everybody goes, invade Iraq. We're not terrorists. Okay. You're either pro-vaccine, pro-shot, pro-lockdowns, or your grandma killing neo-Nazi racist skinhead. Pro this or that. They always give you that left-right narrative, so everybody eventually psychologically goes, well, I'm not a neo-Nazi racist skinhead that hates grandmas, but I also am not pro-shot. Ah, I'm in this weird spot now. I'm in the middle. That's where they don't want people to be. They want people to be on each side so they can galvanize them. And so I think that's what I try to encourage a lot of people to do is look at the data, look at what they do, look at the psychological warfare manipulation that we're exposed to on a regular basis, and then come to your own conclusion. And at that point in time, get your head on a swivel, get your mind right, man, get your body strong, start doing cardio, start training, start lifting, and stay operational all the time with your friends, family, loved ones. Make sure they know how to handle themselves in situations that might escalate where you're at, how you're going to handle it. Because if you train for things before they happen, the military is very, very keen on this, and you do things over and over and over again, when they do occur eventually, it's nothing new. Like, I've done this a bunch. You know, we used to do it all the time with my buddy that used to operate with me, and he always goes, dude, we're bringing another car from the junkyard. We're doing, you know, bailouts of vehicles. We're punching through the windshield of the AR. We're doing movement. We're bounding out. And so we'd always practice that. Well, now after about the fourth, fifth, sixth windshield you punch out, you know, the M4, you're like, all right, this isn't as devastating anymore. I'm used to the glass in my face. I'm used to the concussion. I'm getting normalized to it. Not saying everybody needs to train like that, but what I'm saying is, don't live in this Pollyanna world where you think nothing's ever going to happen and everything's going to live on this perfect little level, because the only way they produce things and make it change is through chaos. And the way they do that is through fear. So you either accept it and become fearful and allow them to put the tyrannical boot on you, or you push back and you say, nah, I've been there, done that, seen this, know what you're pushing, get ready for it, we're coming back. And so that's why a healthy, strong, smart population is so hard to control, hence why they constantly want everybody to be on pharmaceutical drugs, to be on vaccines, to be sick, to have low testosterone, to have no energy, to sit on the internet and drool on yourself. Get your tests up with the Testo Plus formula and the Tribulus. Get your mind right with the Ultimate Multiple Powder. Get the D3 and basically stay on top of things all the time and do the best you can. That's my motto.
What a fantastic information-packed show. The information you provided, just incredible. And I want to thank you for that. It was really high-powered, high-energy, a lot of data, a lot of information, stuff that we need to know. Plus, folks, again, Team Health Masters, that's my go-to. That's our go-to location for all of our nutritional supplements. And, folks, get them now. If you go out and buy coffee at Starbucks or a place like that, you can afford good health through buying quality supplements. I'm telling you right now, Team Health Masters, the best of the best in my view. They work. I've got the results to prove it. In terms of blood work, referencing the D3 K2 product specifically, but all around, the Ultimate Multiple is a requirement, I think, every day. And start, if you have kids, grandkids, start them early. It's important for that. So
you're spot on with that, Doug. I mean, and that's the biggest thing, is getting in and making sure that you know, the kids start at a young age, that they're eating whole eggs, that they're getting their fish oil, that they're getting their multiple. Because at the end of the day, we're raising little Americans, and it's our responsibility to raise them properly. And I mean, I had Hunter, you know, up at the property, my North Carolina property, training with him on that, and where we were training on movement, bounding forward, and mag reloads and all that. I mean, he's 9 years old. He's running an AR-22 better than most adults can shoot now, and he's extremely safe. He's extremely controlled. He's extremely precise, because that's how I've trained him since he was three. And if you train him that way and you work him through it, guns aren't this big, oh my God, there's a gun, let's go play with it. He's like, I know where this is. It's in dad's safe. I don't play with it. When I'm training with it, I'm training with it. It's all business. And he's like that. And that's how kids are. If you train them properly and you raise them up, you don't sit there and try to hide everything from them, make it some taboo, because then they want to touch it. Let them be exposed to it. Let them see what a .44 Magnum does to a watermelon up close. Hunter's been helping me with a ton of ballistic testing before. He's like, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, it does.
44 Magnum V Watermelon. I got to tell you, there are a few things that make me smile as much as that.
I always recommend that. I tell people, 45, whatever it is, Hydroshock. Take your kid out, put some earmuffs on them, and let them see what that firearm does. And it's a visual representation of that's not a toy. That's not a Nerf gun. That's what it does to tissue as well. So, again, do what you do with everybody. Keep your kids strong. HR5, I just activated for everybody.
Beautiful.
You guys enjoy that. Stock up on them. You need energy till 11 o'clock at night and the next morning when you're running solo. I'm working more purple sticks than I'm selling. That's the problem nowadays. you guys need them. Stock up on them.
The purple sticks are something that I know what it is, but I can't describe it. It just, what a burst of energy they provide. One of my favorite products. So HR5 at checkout for 5% off anything that's not on sale. Okay. So
yes, sir, HR5.
All right. And I have to say that, again, you just provided just a ton of information. The other news items that we didn't touch on, folks, you can go to HagmanPI.com, and in addition to the link directly to Team Health Masters and to the radio show, you can also find the show notes as well. Just go to HagmanPI.com, click on the title for today's show, and then drill down, and you'll see the show notes there, as well as the links to Team Health Masters. Austin, I want to thank you so much. We're essentially out of time, and I appreciate what you and your father do and what your family does, and I thank you, because you're keeping us healthy, you're keeping our heads on straight, and you're just pumping a lot of information out there that we need to have, and we certainly love it.
I'm trying the best we can. You're doing great too, Doug. So I appreciate everybody involved.